Welcome back, everyone, to the Existential Echo Chamber podcast. Today, I'm going to be reading another post from my blog. This post was written and originally published on March 21st, 2020. It was entitled Apocalypse Endgame. And in this post, I went through sort of what my understanding of the Christian faith was when I was living it, when I was actively, pursuing ministry, when I was evangelizing anyone and everyone who would listen, and when I was very much a fundamentalist believer. So you'll get a good glimpse into what it was that I believed, into what I was taught, and really into a framework of what was going on in my mind at the time. So I will go ahead and start reading this post without further ado. Apocalypse Endgame. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name inscribed that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, wearing fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:11-16. The core of the Christian message is an apocalyptic one. In simplified terms, that is to say, it concerns itself quite pressingly with the end of the present age of humanity. As I will explain in great detail in another post, that is primarily because Jesus of Nazareth can best be understood as an apocalyptic prophet of the imminent end of the world as we know it and the coming utopian kingdom of God. While the message of Jesus has certainly morphed, evolved, and been misunderstood, miscommunicated, mistranslated, and misplaced over the last two millennia, traces of the original underlying doomsday warnings remain. For Christians, however, this message is not frightening. On the contrary, it's the best news a believer could ever get. Jesus is coming back soon. My previous post talked a little bit about my obsession for reading the Bible. My line of reasoning at the time had been that if God wrote a book, I'd better read it. Well, when I read it, and reread it, and reread it, and, well, you get the picture. I discovered that the authors of the Bible spent an awful lot of time forecasting the eventual coming of the kingdom of God. Apocalyptic themes pervade the pages of the Hebrew Bible. See the books of Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Joel, Isaiah, etc. It did not come as any real shock, then, for me to discover that Jesus also spent a great deal of time talking about God's endgame. And let me just say, I found it all fascinating. I mean, what could possibly be more interesting than reading what God himself had to say about the end of the world? What all exactly God had to say on the matter is the subject of another post, but I will briefly outline some of the takeaways I drew from my years of research on the subject throughout middle school, high school, and early college. Around the same time Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins were cashing in on the blockbuster success of their theologically suspect but wildly entertaining Left Behind series, I stumbled upon perhaps the most influential nonfiction book to be written about the Bible in the last century, Hal Lindsey's sensational The Late Great Planet Earth. This one book is almost single-handedly responsible for the resurgence of apocalyptic fervor in modern evangelical churches, and without it, you never would have gotten Left Behind. Lindsey's accessible, fascinating and surprisingly quick read lit a fire in me that would eventually consume nearly all of my waking thoughts. His arguments were simple enough. Number one, God always communicated the future to his people through the prophets. See Amos 3:7. Nearly 30% of our Bible concerns itself with prophecy. So if God wrote a book and one-third of it is about the future, well, you get where I'm going with this. Number two, God had given believers clear signs of the end of the age in both the Old and New Testaments that the final generation before the return of Christ would be uniquely positioned to interpret and recognize in order to prepare themselves for the imminent second coming of Jesus. Number three, the chief sign of the end times would be the return of the Jewish people to Israel and the creation of a Jewish state there once again. This great sign would be accompanied by world war, famine, plagues, rampant moral decay, and a rise in atheism across the globe. Number four, given that Lindsay was writing in the mid-1960s, his book naturally identifies major global upheavals of the early to mid-20th century, such as the Spanish flu, the pandemic of 1918, World War I, World War II, the Holocaust, the Cold War, Vietnam, racial tensions, the growing counterculture, and of course, the establishment of the modern nation of Israel in 1948 as irrefutable confirmation that we are experiencing what Jesus referred to as birth pangs that would herald the imminent birth of the kingdom of God on earth. See Matthew 24:8. Number five. Jesus said that the generation that sees the birth pangs would not pass away until all of the apocalyptic events took place. Therefore, we who are witnesses to these events must be living in the last days. A generation is generally considered to be 40 years, so perhaps Christ would appear by the end of the 80s. Lindsay's later books would explain that generation can mean many other things in the Bible as well. From my perspective, reading this book in 2002 or 2003, I simply believed a generation meant an average lifespan, so the end would have to come before the last baby born and this generation could die of old age. I had this all worked out to a science, believe me. Number six, Christ would soon remove his followers from the planet in a secret event called the Rapture, in order to spare them from a seven-year period of hell on earth that the Bible refers to as the Tribulation, during which time the entire world would be led astray by a false Messiah that the New Testament refers to as the Antichrist. See 1 John 2:18. Number seven, at the end of the Tribulation, Jesus would lead the armies of heaven, that would be the raptured believers and long-dead saints, along with legions of angels, according to Lindsay, back to earth to destroy the forces of evil and defeat the enemies of God forever. He would rescue Israel from the clutches of the Antichrist and thereby finally win the hearts of the Jewish people who would realize he is, in fact, their Messiah after all. Jesus would then establish a 1,000-year reign of peace on earth. Got all that? Right. Good. Moving on. Long story short, I bought it. All of it. I became completely and utterly convinced that we were living in the end times just before the return of Christ. And I took it seriously. If Jesus is coming back at any moment, how ought I to be living? Shouldn't I be telling someone, everyone within shouting distance? For me, the evidence was completely overwhelming and thoroughly compelling. How could a person read these signs in the Bible and not see? It was as plain as the nose on your face. Jesus would be back any day now. We'd all better bloody well prepare. I didn't want my friends or family to get left behind when the rapture occurred. I reckon that I had maybe 5 or 10 years left before God would be so fed up with the rampant immorality of the 21st century that he would pull the trigger on history and send Jesus to snatch me away. So, I was bound and determined to warn everyone while I still had the time. And so, I did just that. I told everyone. If a person made the mistake of standing next to me for more than 30 seconds, I would strike up a conversation. Within 5 minutes, that conversation would be apocalyptic in nature. My message, ironically enough, was roughly similar to the original admonition of the historical Jesus. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. Mark 1:15. For many, many years of my life, nothing else really mattered. How could it? All I wanted, when the time came, was to be with Jesus. And I wanted everyone else there, too. Well, that was the reading. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll be back, so stay tuned. There's going to be a lot more of these posts being uploaded pretty quickly here. So if you are listening along, just stay tuned to the feed. Make sure to subscribe. Let your friends know if you think they might be interested in something like this. And I will talk to you guys soon.